0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. After maintaining a 10-point lead at the top, attention turns to Copenhagen away for Celtic in the Europa League. Rangers are back to winning ways. Can they take that into the visit of Braga? And Motherwell and St Mirren meet tonight for a place in the Scottish Cup quarter-finals. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
And there's just no such thing as a quiet midweek in Scottish football in 2020, Gordon. Our transfer window might be closed, but FC Copenhagen have put out a star striker today. Livingston have brought in an old face today, and for you boys, your beloved mother will go again with St Mirren tonight in a bid to reach the last eight of the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, looking forward to this week, Gordon. Excitement obviously on Thursday with the big two playing in Europe, it's where it all starts tonight for us. Fir Park at 8:30 we will be there. A little bit of bacora, a nice hot pie before we go up into the stand.
Don't really know what how to add to that. You're not interested in the football. You're not interested.
The halftime buffet is at Fir Park. It's fantastic.
Is that your favourite snack in Scottish football? The Motherwell pakora?
Oh, the Motherwell halftime is the best, I've got to say.
I'm going to make sure there's none left. I'm going to call ahead and make sure you get robbed. Anyway, it's 0141 951 1025. So don't hang about. Let's hear from you nice and early, and let us know what's on your mind in another big midweek, as Roger says, in Scottish football. It's Tuesday night, Roger. It's that time of the week where we slowly start to leave the weekend's talking points and controversies behind. I'm sure there will still be some that linger on, and then we turn our attentions back to the Europa League. It doesn't seem like so long ago that all of our midweeks we were obsessed with the Europa League. We put it to bed for a couple of months, and now it's back with a bang.
Yeah, it's sort of sneaked up on us a little bit. I think there's been so many midweek Premiership cards since the winter break ended that this Europa League last 32 first leg, these fixtures have kind of sneaked up on us when we were least expecting them, Gordon. I mean, in terms of the Premiership at the weekend, it's as you were. Celtic celebrating at the end at Pittodrie, Rangers relieved at the end at Ibrox, and they managed to see off Livingston and put that defeat at Kilmarnock behind them. But it's now full focus on Europe. Celtic will fancy their chances in Denmark on Thursday evening, I would suggest. Copenhagen came out of their own winter break at the weekend. Disappointing defeat away to a team near the bottom of the league, Esbjerg. Rangers host Braga. We've yet to see what that Ibrox surface is going to be like on Thursday night. What we do know is Braga, a very talented team. They won at Benfica at the weekend. They've won their last five away games domestically, and they've won all five of their away games in Europe this season.
Yeah, a lot of tough fixtures. I think home advantage, you must, if you're going to progress in this competition, you've got to get a result at home, Gordon. If you go away from home like Celtic, they kick off first on Thursday night in Denmark, as Roger rightly said. If they can get a good positive result there, bring it back to Celtic Park, then you must fancy them. Rangers, they're a bit different. They've got to go to Portugal with a good lead, with something to hold on to.
0141 951 1025. We're just 2 days away from the return of the Europa League, so give us all your early thoughts. How confident are you? How do you see it going? Maybe some early team suggestions. And of course, dare we say it, VAR in use in this stage of the Europa League. We have watched on with interest as everyone else argues over it, and now our two big sides are going to have to deal with it. VAR in use in the Europa League this Thursday. Tell us how you feel about that. 0141 951 1025. We do have a big game tonight. Hopefully the fixture between the sides in the league was off at the weekend at Fir Park, Motherwell against St Mirren. This cup replay was already rescheduled for the same venue just a couple of days later. The weather has been terrible. Is it going to be game on, Andrew McLean?
Yeah, well, conditions aren't great here at all. Since I arrived, we've had a sort of mixture of heavy snow and rain. But as it stands, the game is going ahead. As you mentioned, you know, it was this pitch that a game was postponed on Saturday. It was playable at the time that they were doing the pitch inspection, and in fear of sounding like Alan Tishmarsh, the pitch was holding the maximum level of water it can while still draining properly at that point. But there was more rain forecast to come before kickoff. They made the call not to go ahead with it because they thought it would become unplayable by 3 o'clock. Both managers didn't really mind that because it gives them a bit of time to get fitness into their players ahead of this one tonight. But Motherwell do seem a lot more confident that this one will go ahead tonight. Conditions certainly not helping. It is calming down a wee bit at the moment. moment, but it does look as if it will go ahead despite the fact that it will be quite a heavy pitch.
There we go. Hopefully it's game on. I think it's been priced very sensibly as well, so I know it's not the best night, but hopefully a good crowd gets out and gives that one the attention it deserves, Roger.
Yeah, so it was St Mirren Motherwell in the first game last week. It should have been Motherwell St Mirren on Saturday. It is Motherwell St Mirren tonight, and then it's Motherwell St Mirren again next Tuesday night in the league.
Something like that, yep.
Yeah, I've rarely seen Daz as excited. It's such a sort of trilogy of fantastic action. I just hope the pitch doesn't demean what's going to be a wonderful Scottish Cup spectacle tonight. I know you two boys desperate to get out of the studio and down to watch it.
You should have heard the list of excuses he rhymed off to me when I asked if he was going for the second half. He lives a stone's throw away, the excuses he was coming out, but I'll make sure he's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Homework. You're back here on Thursday, but you need to do your research.
It was nothing to do with excuses, Gordon. It was genuine.
My hip's sore. It's a bit cold. I don't know where to park.
Yeah. And you've added it by saying your phone ahead to make sure there's no pecora left for me. So, no, I will be there with you in the stands for the second half of Motherwell v St Mirren tonight. I think it'll be an exciting game. I think it'll be a good game. I can understand what Andrew's saying there. Obviously, I live very close to Motherwell, as you do. And the weather today has been horrific once again. So we just hope the pitch holds up.
And I have to say, I was very impressed that there was a vet opening Motherwell at 8:30 on a Tuesday night, willing to look at his sick budgie.
I think we move swiftly on. 0141 951 1025. Motherwell and St Mirren fans, let's hear from you as well. We will stay in touch with Andrew McLean as the evening progresses. We'll get you team news and all the rest of it. But let's get stuck into the big footballing stories. That middle ground between league football at the weekend and going to the Europa League on Thursday. Christopher Eyer says Celtic's key to their success at the moment is that the players are never settling for anything less than a win. He's looking ahead to Copenhagen. He says from his experience of Scandinavian football, the opponents can be fitter than ever, despite the fact that they come off the back of that winter shutdown.
We go away to a really tough away fixtures, and with the conditions, the dry pitch, we knew that we had to play a little bit different. And Aberdeen, as I said, I think they played maybe their best performance against us. The way they pressed us and the way they played was really good. As a Celtic player, you're never happy if you not win. So we always have a mindset to win the games, and at one each, we changed system to a back four to attack even more. So that's always our target. Copenhagen will be really, really tough. It's a typical Scandinavian team. They will be well structured and fight for their life. So to go there in Copenhagen, we know how difficult that will be. So we have to get home now, recover, and hopefully put in a great performance. I know how tough Scandinavian teams train during breaks, so they will be fitter than ever. So that will be no different.
Let's speak to Michael. He's a Celtic fan from West Lothian. What's on your mind tonight, Michael?
Hi, good evening, gents.
I'm
staying on the Christopher Eyer theme, but maybe on a lighter note, and following the post-match comments on Saturday, when he was described by Neil Lennon to be, he thought it was a Franz Beckenbauer. Is Christopher Eyer potentially a Franz Beckenbauer? A Johan Mjelby? Or perhaps a Desert Orchid? Racehorse.
I think it was Derek McInnes who likened them to the racehorse.
It was
certainly a thoroughbred performance from him when he came up from right back in the second half to score that winning goal. Michael, Neil Lennon then described him as like, you know, stepping out from the back like Franz Beckenbauer.
Did he not say he thinks he's Franz Beckenbauer rather than describing him as?
I'm not sure what you get.
If you cross
Franz Beckenbauer with Desert Orchid, but maybe it's the Norse horse. The Norwegian defender. He's playing well. He did well when he moved to right back. But as Dan said in the show, Michael, after the game on Sunday, all credit to Neil Lennon, because the 3-5-2 that has served Celtic so well since the winter break wasn't particularly working in the gale at Pittodrie at the weekend. Neil Lennon spotted it. He changed formation. He went to four at the back. Ayer got shifted across to right back, which isn't his natural position, not his best position at all. And yet he still managed to burst forward. They lost Andrew Considine, and there he was at the back post to bag a winner that, in the final analysis of the championship race, could be huge.
I've got to say, first and foremost, Michael, wee bit tongue in cheek here, Ayer, Beckenbauer, not in the same sentence to me, but he's a good player. I'm still not convinced that his best position is centre back. I think he looks very uncomfortable when he plays in the three at left centre back. I don't think he actually feels comfortable. I thought he played very well. His goal, I've got to say, his goal was composure was brilliant. The big talking point we'll have up until about 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock on Thursday night, will Celtic go with the 3-5-2 or will they go back to their trusting 4-2-3-1, Gordon, away from home? I don't know. I think Neil Lennon can throw a wee surprise in here. And maybe, I know a lot of the guys are thinking, no, he'll go to a back four, the two, the three, and the one up front. I think Neil Lennon's confident in his players.
We've been here before, Roger, when our teams get drawn against sides from certain parts of Europe that have just come off a winter break. I think, was it Zenit was the last one, and there was a lot of speculation, could it play into Celtic's hands? And it looked like it was going in the first leg, and then Zenit showed that they certainly weren't rusty in the second leg. We just heard Christopher Eyer talking about Copenhagen. They've only played once since a 2 month layoff. That was at the weekend. They lost to the team second bottom. Does it ever have an impact on the game, do you think, when the teams are at such different stages in their schedule?
Listen, it can and it can. What I will say is that the last 3 years Celtic have been at this round, Zenit you mentioned, then Valencia, and now FC Copenhagen. I don't think FC Copenhagen are at the same level as either Valencia or Zenit were. This is Celtic's best chance to get to the last 16, and whether FC Copenhagen are rusty or not, I think Celtic have more than enough about them to get to the last 16.
Michael, what are your early thoughts ahead of that one then? Are you feeling confident?
I would happily settle for a score draw, as I would have done on Saturday with 20 minutes to go. But to get back to the Ayer situation, I think Ayer is more likely to become someone like a Jan Mjalby. When Mjalby came to Celtic Park, he was a midfield player and converted into centre-back, which I think is Ayer's natural position. But I think if we go to Copenhagen on Wednesday night or Thursday night and get a score draw, I think we'll be doing very well.
Yeah, it gives you something to come back with, an away goal, of course, as well. That was Michael in West Lothian. Thank you very much to Michael for kicking things off. What else are you expecting from Copenhagen, Roger? They're 13 points behind Midtjylland at the top. We know that we've seen a good bit of Midtjylland because they played against Rangers. The Danish league is clearly not one of the absolute strongest in Europe. That's not to say that they're not a good team. I'm struggling to... You don't want to over-exaggerate Celtic's chances and act like it's easy, because you don't get easy games at this stage of European competition. But like you say, given what it could have been, should Neil Lennon's side be feeling extremely confident?
They should certainly be feeling confident. I think they're favourites for the tie. A couple of colleagues who were on the SBR on Friday night to see FC Copenhagen lose the game 1-0, not perform particularly well. I believe they've sold one of their strikers today. Sotirios gone for £4 million to FC Astana.
Yeah, he was the danger man, Cypriot international, 14 goals this season.
Yeah, he's headed off to Kazakhstan in a deal that has, I think, split the Copenhagen management and certainly split the Copenhagen support, because he was a talisman for them. He was, if you like, their Odson Edward or Lee Griffiths, and he's not going to be there now on Thursday night for that home leg. So you would think that would be another plus point for Celtic. I fancy Celtic strongly.
Ricky is in Easterhouse. What's on your mind tonight, Ricky?
I was listening to you talking about VAR.
Oh yes.
Given the contentious refereeing decisions in the SPL over the last few weeks, and I know that Mr. Gerrard fancies VAR, I'm just wondering if there is contentious decisions on Thursday by either old firm teams, like go for them or against them, how will they react to the decisions by the VAR, and how will the fans react? Yeah,
I love this notion that VAR takes away contentious decisions. Mm-hmm. Did anyone watch Chelsea Man United last night?
I'm going to say, I couldn't believe it. I detest VAR. I know that there's a lot of pluses for it with the offside, and it's the argument people say, well, his toe was... At the end of the day, you're offside, right? And that's great. But it's the way they measure everything. It takes so long, Gordon. I was watching the Manchester City game not that long ago, and there was a VAR decision about a penalty kick, and it took up to about 2.5 minutes. Yeah. Before it, and you're thinking, play still, you know. Last night, you're right, I watched the Manchester United Chelsea game, and how Maguire stays in the park is incredible for me. But I think it's got its pluses with the offside, and I think it does a good job at that.
Clearly, the important thing to remember, Roger, it's not a magic machine, it's just a different set of eyes. And if the first set of eyes can get it wrong, the second set of eyes can certainly get it wrong.
I think it's a good thing that we're getting it into Scottish football at last, because the one thing we've been crying out for in the game this season is talking points, Gordon. It's interesting. I'm told I looked into this a little bit because it's going to affect Rangers and Celtic on Thursday night for the first time. UEFA run it slightly differently from the English Premier League run it. There are basically four issues that UEFA look to VAR for. One is contentious goals, like the one that Zuma scored for Chelsea last night that was put off when there was the push. One is offside, like the Giroud goal last night that was given and then rightly taken off because of offside. One is red cards, red card decisions, like you could say the Harry Maguire incident you're talking about last night would be looked at as well. And I think this fourth area they look at is incidents in the penalty area, you know, things like handball, I suppose you could say, you know, maybe like, you know.
Yeah, penalties ultimately.
Ultimately, penalties or incidents the other way in the penalty box, you know, simulation, things like that. So there's four key areas. I believe that the officials, you know, how down south they talk about the sitting Stockley Park and what have you. I think the VAR and his assistants will be at Ibrox in a suite. They're not at a remote venue, which is different. The same with the Celtic ones. I think they're in the parking stadium in Copenhagen.
Well, that'll be good. So fans chapping the window, just trying to get a wee.
But does that make any difference where they are?
I'm just explaining the difference between the way UEFA do it and the way the EPL do it. So it'll be fascinating to see. I believe it's Spanish officials at Ibrox on Thursday, Russian officials for Celtic in Denmark on Thursday evening. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
What do you think, Ricky? Are you looking forward to it?
Well, I thought VAR would be saying to the referees, you have to look at this decision. And ultimately, at the end, the referee would make the decision. And what I'm seeing down in England, the referees are not making the final decision here. Don't go and look at monitors to see. They have been told by VAR what of today.
You're absolutely right, Ricky, but again,
on the part for,
what I was going to say there's a huge difference between the way UEFA run it and the way the English run it down south. I believe if you look at the games on the continent, the way the games that UEFA preside over, I think referees go to a monitor at the side of the pitch on average once every three games, whereas down south, I think you'll be lucky if you've seen it happen three times in the entire season, because the Premier game match officials ruling body down there discourages referees from going and looking at that, whereas UEFA positively encourages their officials to go and look at that. So I think there's far more chance in these two Rangers games and two Celtic games, and maybe, you know, hopefully beyond, if the two of them can get to the last 16 and further, I think there's a far greater chance you will see referees going to those monitors on the side of the pitch.
Good man, Ricky. Thank you very much for the call. That was Ricky discussing the fact that VAR is here for us, whether we like it or not. It's here because they're going to use it in this stage of the Europa League onwards. So Celtic and Rangers will both get to experience it on Thursday and the following week, and maybe even beyond if they get through. So give us all your thoughts on that and anything else that goes into the game. 01419511025. Rangers fans, we're going to hear from Nikola Katic next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, looking ahead to a big Europa League week for Celtic and Rangers. And of course, we've got that Scottish Cup tie between Motherwell and St Mirren in the rain in Lanarkshire tonight as well. On the subject of VAR being used in the Europa League, Ants says he hates it. It's ruining football. The offside for Wolves against Leicester was awful. Still a lot of work to be done to make the goal, but disallowed by about an inch. Stephen Kennedy says we're all aware VAR is introduced to Celtic and Rangers European games. Any news about when it will be introduced in Old Firm games? No.
Well,
in a word,
yeah, and there's no sign of it just now. It is pretty expensive to be put in. It's okay for the English Premier League or Serie A or La Liga or the Bundesliga, the cash rich domestic championships, Gordon, but there doesn't seem to be the general will among all the clubs in the SPFL Premiership.
There are a lot of leagues in Europe that you wouldn't consider cash rich that have it. But I don't know. Money is king.
Yeah, money is king. And it's down to clubs. You can understand the argument for a club like St Johnstone or Ross County or Hamilton Accies, who only get a set amount of money at the end of the season from the SPFL. Are they willing to give up a slice of that for VAR? It might cost them a player.
Scott McFarlane says, if Ayer is Beckenbauer, DL is Messi.
Yes, I totally agree with
that. He certainly is. You should see the state of the recliner.
I don't want to know about the state of the recliner. 01419511025. Stuart's in Renfrew. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, how you doing, pal? All right?
Not bad, sure. How are you?
I'm good, aye. I've got a wee point. Is it Roger who's on tonight?
Yes.
Right, I've got a wee point for Roger first, and then I'll go into my main point, please, if you don't mind. My first point is the referees. How are these referees picked for each game? I've seen a stat today about Kevin Clancy. He's been picked for six Celtic's last 14 games, five of them at Parkhead. I think that's a wee bit much, no?
Well, listen, you're bringing news to me. I thought the way the SFA did it was they appointed them sort of in month batches, if you like. They would get maybe four or five games for the next calendar month, and then it would be, you know, redone again the next month. I've never heard of as many as 14 games getting put out in front. I'd also be surprised if any referee, whether it was Clancy or whoever, getting six of any team's next 14 games. They do try and spread it
out. The last 14, Roger.
Yes, what I mean. I'd be surprised if he gets six of, you know, six out of 14 at any stage of the season for any one team, be it Celtic or Rangers or Aberdeen or whoever. They tend to spread it out. You know yourself, there only are so many elite referees to do the elite teams in the Premiership. So you'll see the usual faces: Willie Collum, Bobby Madden, Stephen McLean, Kevin Clancy, and you will get them on a semi-regular basis. There are other ones coming through. I think it was you and Anderson at the Rangers game against Livy.
Are you saying, Roger, sorry, are you saying that the referees get their schedule a month?
Yeah.
I'm led to believe that they don't know up until Tuesday where their next game is. For the Saturday.
This is going to sound strange. They may not know, but I think the rota has been drawn up for a bit of clarity in advance.
Anyway, I've just had a look. Kevin Clancy has refereed two Celtic games in the last 13. Stuart.
All right, I must have.
Sorry. To be fair, that's his last 13 games. So his last 13 games have included two Celtic games. That's all I've got for you.
I think that will be about average for those that band of half a dozen or seven or eight really elite referees. You know, the guys who tend to get the Old Firm games, who tend to get the Aberdeen Rangers and the Celtic Hearts games, they will get something like that.
Anyway, Stuart, what was your other point?
Yeah, so I've tried to call up a few times this year, but I've not been able to get through, unfortunately, due to work and that. I just want to talk about the season in general. Mm-hmm. The Rangers, I don't think they're actually having too bad a season, okay? Yeah, we've came back for the winter break. We've had a couple of bumps in the road. These bumps are going to happen, you know? The issue where it is Celtic aren't dropping any points. They seem unstoppable this year. They've got three players, first team players for every single position, and they seem to be going ahead and winning every single game. Nobody seems to be stepping up, taking points off them. But Rangers aren't having too bad a season. Let me put it in a bit of context. If you look back to, I think it was 2008, so Walter Smith's team, 93 points was Walter Smith's best total in his second session at Rangers. Now, if Steven Gerrard continues the rest of the season only losing two, or I think it's three games, then they'll finish in roughly the same region, 92, 93 points. I don't think they're having too bad a season. Now, we've came back, we've had a couple of bumps on the road, we're going to have the bumps. We're that desperate for success where it's hurting us all, you know, because we're that desperate to win. But the thing is we're all walking this road together, and once we finally get there, you know, it'll hurt everybody a lot more than it's hurt us anyway.
There is a bit of truth in that though, Gordon. Rangers are clearly better than they were. Their points total this season tells you that. Their European performance this season tells you that. I'll just flip it on its head though, because the problem in this city is you're not really judged on what you did last season. You're judged on what your rival's doing. How close are you? Are you ahead of them? Are you behind them? How far are you behind them?
Since the last 2 weeks, I think I keep hearing this about the points and you know, how many points they could get by the end of the season. It's simple. They've got to get more points than Celtic, and you can't finish second and say, well, successful season because we'll get more points. I think that.
What it would show you though is that, you know, you're not going backwards or anything like that.
No, but what it showed you is you're still behind, because Celtic, if Celtic finish in top,
of course, I know
you know
that.
So you've got to look at that, Gordon. If Stuart thinks that finishing second with good points, I thought Rangers were very unlucky in the cup final, but they got there. I think that for me, Rangers this season, priority is to win a trophy. Now, if I'm honest, I don't think they're going to win the league. I could be totally wrong. I think Celtic, pole position, it would need a real meltdown from Celtic. So their best hope is the Scottish Cup. Now, if Rangers fans are quite happy to say, right, we've not won the League Cup, we were unlucky, we finished second in the league with good points, tally, and we didn't win the Scottish Cup, that's a successful season for us, then I'm sorry, I think you're on the wrong track.
Listen, you know yourself, Stuart, in this city, first is everything, second is nothing. And, you know, you look down south. Last season in the English Premier League, I think Liverpool lost one game. They accumulated the highest number of points they'd ever accumulated in the English Premier League. But they finished second to Manchester City, and none of those great stats about points and not losing games, none of it meant anything to Jurgen Klopp at the end of the season. All he was interested in was coming back this season and winning the league. And it'll be the same for whichever one of the teams finishes runners-up this season. They won't care whether they've got 100 points, 95 points, 90 points. They won't care if they've done better than last season. If they're second, they'll say it's a disappointing campaign.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Believe me, second best in this city is absolutely nothing. You know, I know that myself. But the fact is, better Rangers teams have went to Hearts, Hibs, Kilmarnock, these places, and dropped points. But there's no much you can do if the opposition is no dropping any points as well. You look every week and you're desperate for something to give and nothing seems to be given. There's nothing more you can do than try your best and hope you're within touching distance when it comes towards the end of the season and you can finally get out of that line. And, you know, Celtic's had years and years of money coming in for Europe and Rangers weren't there and able to strengthen and strengthen and strengthen, you know, and it's a rebuilding job. It's not going to happen there night. We're that desperate. We want it to happen sooner rather than later. But once it happens, you know, then...
Stuart, sorry for interrupting. I can understand your point. You're saying it's a rebuilding job, right? And people say, well, Rangers are a lot better. And yes, of course, nobody's going to argue. But you've got to say that the Rangers board has backed the Rangers manager to the hill. 35-plus players, and he's not even finished his second season. So as much as a rebuilding job is, and I do agree... they've certainly backed the club.
Next up, of course, Roger, is Braga. And you can spin this two ways. So I'll give you both and you can tell me which one you'd prefer to buy into. The first one is a bit more simple. They are 16 points behind Porto. Rangers have already got the better of Porto and therefore they should be confident. The other hand, they've got 8 wins and a draw in their last 9, including a League and Cup double over Porto, and they just beat Benfica away at the weekend, and therefore Rangers should not be as confident. Which one do you subscribe to?
Well, listen, I think all of us sitting here this evening want to see both Old Firm teams progress as far as they can in the Europa League. So let me buy into the first one. Let me buy into that statistic that Braga are a long way behind Porto. Rangers get the better of Porto over a couple of games, so there's no reason why Rangers can't get the better over Braga over a couple of games. But if we're being realistic for a moment, they're a team on form. They're a team with very good players. They're a team with a daunting away record in Europe this season. I think they've won away to Brøndby, Besiktas, Spartak Moscow, Slovan Bratislava and Wolves.
Yep.
And a full strength Wolves team as well at Molineux. So they're no mugs. Under Ruben Amorim, the new coach, they've done very well domestically, catching up a little bit of the lost ground from early in the season. They will be awkward opponents, of that there is no doubt. But Rangers have shown in Europe, not just this season, last season as well under Steven Gerrard, that they're no mugs in Europe either. Haven't lost a game at Ibrox in Europe under Steven Gerrard. So I think it'll be a fascinating game, and we will be fascinated to see what the pitch is like and what the overhead conditions are like and whether that plays into Rangers' hands.
One thing you can't really fault Gordon for all this talk about progress and silverware, can't really fault Rangers' record in Europe under Steven Gerrard. I know they didn't make it through the groups last season, but to even get there from the first qualifying round to do it again and then get through the groups, they've just looked so confident and assured in Europe. Will they still look as confident and assured off the back of what's been a difficult domestic run?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think their European campaign has been terrific, Gordon. They look a completely different team, especially away from home. I think that if they can go on Thursday night, full house at Ibrox, okay, it's well documented, the pitch isn't the greatest, but it's the same for both teams. I think if Rangers can find a bit of form, just find a bit of form, because I watched them against Livingston. Yes, it's Livingston. They created a right few chances, unlucky with one or two decisions. If they can get a positive result on Thursday, then I think they've got a great opportunity going through.
Yeah, I mean, various danger men. I think Paulinho at the moment is the third top scorer in the Portuguese league. Roger, it's when you look at their recent form, that should that be more of a concern than where they are overall? Because you talk about, you know, where is a team at this particular moment?
Well, we talk about Celtic going to Denmark full of confidence after the run they've had since the split, since the winter break, I should say. Braga will come here full of confidence after the run they've had under the new coach Ruben Amorim. Be interesting to see the Rangers line up. I think it's important Borna Barisic makes it. I think they'll give him to the last minute because he adds something in. You know, he takes a team forward down that left hand side. I would expect Glenn Kamara to come back into the team with Ryan Jack suspended. There is, of course, no Jermaine Defoe to, you know, to back up Morelos off the bench. So it'll be interesting to see just exactly how attack minded Steven Gerrard is, whether he keeps Ryan Kent in the team, whether he keeps, you know, it's a Kent and Hadji either side of Morelos, whether maybe as well as Kamara coming in, Aribo comes back in as well with Arfield and Davis. All of that will be interesting. Listen, it's going to be two fascinating ties. I really looking forward to Thursday.
Thank you very much, Stuart in Renfrew. We're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we're going to speak to Robert in Stirling. He's a Rangers fan. He's got refereeing on his mind, and we'll hear from him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hannah and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 1 hour to go until kick-off between Motherwell and St Mirren. We'll be going back to Fir Park in the not-too-distant future to give you team news. So how about letting us know how you feel, Motherwell fans, St Mirren fans? Always a bit of nerves surrounding a cup replay. You know it has to be played to a finish tonight, whether it be extra time or penalties. We will get a winner tonight. Are you feeling confident? Let us know. Let's speak to Robert, who's a Rangers fan in Stirling. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you doing, gentlemen? Good evening, panel. How are we?
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
I'm phoning you about the game on Thursday night in Ibrox, Braga. This will be the first game this season that nobody can phone up and complain about the referee or the linesman.
Oh, yes, so, they can, Robert.
Well, it's going to be VAR at Ibrox on Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
And that's the first time that we'll have VAR at Ibrox. And by the way, you just need to look at the last two games for the referee blunders and the linesman blunders that's cost Rangers. Okay, we won the game. My God. Two offsides. They won the offside. The penalty kick. Everybody knows, except the referee, that it was a penalty kick. And if that's on VAR, there's a totally different outcome.
See, here's the problem though, Robert. You're probably right. You're possibly right. But you're not definitely right. We only have to go back to last night. Did you see the game between Manchester United and Chelsea? Everybody with functioning eyesight believes that Harry Maguire should have been sent off via VAR, and he wasn't. So if you think that VAR is going to stop people having something to complain about, you're wrong.
Well, it can't be any worse than it already is.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I think Robert, I agree with you, I think the offside rule. Now, we've already had, I think it was Ricky talking about VAR, and he was offside by an inch. Doesn't matter. That's offside. Simple. Correct. It is correct. That's the way it should be done. I like that part of it. Goal line technology, I like that. The rest of the VAR, and I think it spoils the game of waiting for decisions, penalty
what
kick.
What about the handball, Hugh, for the penalty kick? Come
Hugh,
on.
Hugh, I don't know, Stephen.
Yeah, I think by the way, for what it's worth, I think everybody did agree. Did they not?
The handball for
Livingston,
Rangers,
it should have been a penalty.
I thought, where am I, Robert? Morelos definitely onside, right? We all know that. Handball, yes, I thought it was a penalty kick. Camberi, I thought it was offside.
Yes, I agree with you. But at least if you get you take that goal, that's 2-0. You get a penalty kick, that's 3-0. That's a totally different game, Luke.
I wouldn't bank on Rangers scoring penalties at the moment, Robert.
Well, that's true as well. But at the end of the day, VAR will make a difference for the better, not for the worse, because the referees in Scotland are worse than the referees in England, and we've got VAR in England.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not going to get VAR in Scotland because we can't afford
one decision against Rangers.
No, that's more than one.
Right, a decision. Say it goes for Braga on Thursday night. Robert will be phoning us saying on Friday, VAR, get that out of Scotland.
Here's the thing for me, Robert, because you've actually listed off some examples that everybody agrees with, so wouldn't disagree with any of them. Morelos was onside at the weekend. It probably was a handball. Rangers should have had a penalty. But this idea that this won't happen on the continent, or this only happens in Scotland. Do you remember Rangers against Feyenoord?
Yes, I do.
The referee that night was the man who oversaw the Champions League final, the top man in Europe. Steven Gerrard said after the game that Rangers were denied a blatant penalty. He says It was desperate defending. Anywhere else in the pitch, it's a foul. I would like an explanation from UEFA as to why we didn't get that penalty off of the top man in Europe. So this assumption that it only happens here and that it won't happen anywhere else is flawed. Surely it's flawed.
Was VAR there then?
No, but you're talking about the stand. No, Robert, that was in response to your comment about the officiating and the standard of it.
Right, okay, that's one referee for one game. I'm talking about over a full season. You look at the amount of refereeing and linesmen errors that are done in Scotland, it's phenomenal. It's double what it is in England.
How do you know that, Brian? And Robert, I'm not even necessarily disagreeing, because I just don't know. I wouldn't pretend to know. So you've collated all the decisions and you've come up with the fact that you get double the amount of mistakes here.
Well, but if you look at the highlights of any of the games from England and the highlights of the games from Scotland and look at the difference then and the mistakes that are being made, then you can tell. Every week you look at the highlights of England and Scotland. The games are played, highlights of every game from England, highlights of every game from Scotland. Look at the difference in the mistakes.
I see loads of mistakes in England.
It's funny, actually.
Harry Maguire's on the telly just now.
Yeah, as you're talking, Robert, we're actually watching the Harry Maguire incident again on the TV, and how the video assistant referee does not deem that to be a red card offence is astonishing. So, you know, the VAR, yes, it'll take matters of fact, offsides, the little lines you see going across the screen, things like offsides, it will catch. It'll probably catch fouls in the box, like the one that led to Kurt Zouma's goal being disallowed last night. It'll catch things like that. But it's still a human being sitting watching a screen. You know, it'll be somewhere in the Parken Stadium, Copenhagen, somewhere in the Ibrox Stadium on Thursday night. And with human beings looking at it, there's still that element of human error. I think everyone, apart from the video assistant referee last night, thought that was a red card for Harry Maguire.
And the thing about
it, we've just established that Europe's top referee is susceptible to human error as well.
But the thing we're missing, Gordon, the thing about it, yes, our referees and assistants come in for a lot of criticism in Scotland. They would welcome VAR. They would love it to come in to give them a bit of help. But there's pluses for it and minuses for it. I like it because of the offside, but the rest of it, I don't really like it at all.
Let's hear a bit from Nikola Katic. He says Rangers need to believe they can win every game from now until the end of the season and that they'll never give up. He is confident that they can get back to the form they showed before that winter break.
Hopefully this is the start of some good row for us, and we have to go step by step again and try to win every game, because nothing's done. Have to play a lot of games until the end of the season, so still believe. 3 more months to play and face Celtic twice, and this team is not giving up. We'll try to give everything until the last game. If we have, we'll try to win every game and try to close the gap. We show in the first part of the year, we show that we can play like good football. We can be relentless and score a lot of goals and I don't know, be real Rangers. Now we don't play as our fans deserve and the club like this deserves and our staff as well. But I think we will move forward and working hard every day, I think we'll come back at the place we have to be.
Just before we have to go to the news, Robert, how are you feeling about Thursday? Are you feeling confident that pre-December European form can be rediscovered?
Yes, I think Rangers will win on Thursday night. And even if we don't, it'll not be because of a referee that we don't. But I'll also say this to you guys. The league is over. Celtic are going to win the league. Even if Rangers win every game from now till the end of the season, and that's beating Celtic twice, Celtic will still win the league, because there's no other team in the SPL that will beat Celtic other than Rangers. And that's why the only thing we can look forward to trying to win is the Scottish Cup and beating Celtic. That's it for Rangers.
Well, time will tell. Slightly different schedule this year as well, Roger. It depends how far you can take it. We'll have the Scottish Cup winner before the league is finished.
Yeah, I think the Scottish Cup final has been pulled forward to May the 9th to allow UEFA will take over Hampden following the cup final to allow them to do all their branding for Hampden to host the games for Euro 2020 in the summer. So I think there'll be three games after the split in the league, then the cup final, then two more league games after that. So it is an unusual finale to the domestic season.
Robert and Stirling, we thank you for the call. It is time to move on. Motherwell and St Mirren fans still hoping to hear from you, because we've got very, very interesting team news coming out of Fir Park, and we're going to give you it after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time, and don't forget, all this week, a very special Beat the Pundit just for coming on. You don't even need to get any questions right, just for getting through. We're giving you a pair of tickets to an evening with Larson, Sutton and Hartson at the Hydro on the 4th of May. It is the first time, I believe, that the three legends have been on stage together, so it's either the perfect night out for you or the ideal gift for someone if you are a fan of another team. But either way, I'm sure they'll go to a good home. All you have to do to win them is get through on tonight's Beat the Pundit, 0141 951 1025. You have to call before 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL is here. Roger Hanna is alongside him. We've been building up to a big week in the Europa League for Celtic and Rangers. Looking back on some of the weekend's talking points as well. As for tonight, we're less than 45 minutes away from kickoff at Fir Park. So Motherwell fans, St Mirren fans, we're about to give you team news. How confident are you feeling? We'll hear from both managers next.
The Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Tonight's contestant is Richard from Drumchapel. How are you, Richard?
I'm no bad, guys.
And now, Richard, don't embarrass us here by telling us that you would rather have the Larson, Sutton and Hartson night out than the signed ball. Just pretend
no,
that you prefer the signed ball.
No, not at all. Either will do me, that's fine.
Love that. Well, you're going anyway. It's just a nice bonus. You're off to the Hydro on the 4th of May for an evening with those three striking legends. Happy with that?
Perfectly ideal.
Good man. Right, now to the real contest. Let's toss the coin and see who you're up against. If it's heads, it's Roger Hanna, who starts from minus one. And if it's tails, it's Gordon DL.
Right.
And it is tails. Gordon DL up against Richard from Drumchapel. We have been giving sign balls away like there is no tomorrow. So if you could please concentrate.
Richard sounds nervous. Right. He's no chance.
No, I heard you yesterday. And I thought, you know what? I can do this.
Nah, you're panicking, Richard. I can hear it in your voice.
Anyway, I'm going to give Gordon some Clyde 2 to listen to Richard. That way he can't hear your answers. And I'll put 30 seconds on the clock. You're going up against Gordon. The secret is you can pass. So if you don't know it, pass it quickly and just move on, okay?
Okay.
Good man. Your time starts now. Effie Ambrose has signed for which Scottish team?
Oh, pass.
Which international side does Joe Aribo play for?
Nigeria.
Which current Celtic player has scored the most goals for Scotland?
Yes.
Which Scottish side has been in the Scottish Championship the longest at the moment?
Pass.
Who's Dundee's manager?
Pass.
How many English teams are left in the Europa League?
Six.
Which Scottish team did Gary Holt play for?
Livingston.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Same set of questions to you, yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Effie Ambrose has signed for which Scottish
Livingston.
Team? Which international side does Joe Aribo play for?
Nigeria.
Which current Celtic player has got the most goals for Scotland?
James Forrest.
Which Scottish side has currently been in the Championship the longest?
Falkirk.
Who is Dundee's manager?
Dundee's manager? McPaig.
How many English teams are left in the Europa League?
Two.
And which Scottish team did Gary Holt play for, quickly?
Gary Holt played Kilmarnock.
Okay. What do you think, Richard?
I think I made a bet me towards the end. I think I bottled it a wee bit at the start.
Told you he'd ball it.
We'll see.
Effie Ambrose has signed for Livingston. 1-0 to Gordon. Which international side does Joe Aribo play for? It's Nigeria. You knew that one, Richard.
Fucking League One.
Yes, they are. You said Falkirk are in League One there.
Yeah.
It sounded like something else, and I thought this was your last show on Super Scoreboard. It sounded like you said a wee sweary word. There we go, Falkirk.
No, I said Falkirk. Yeah, and
I got that on the end. He just had me panicking. And Roger, Roger panicked as well. I saw his face. Which international side does Joe Rio play for? It's Nigeria. You both got it, so it's 2-1 to Gordon. Which current Celtic player has scored the most goals for Scotland? Richard went Lee Griffiths. You went James Forrest. The answer is James Forrest. He's on 5.
Really?
I got a hat trick not too long ago. 3-1 to Gordon. Good start this, Roger. I wonder if you would know this. Which Scottish side has currently been in the Championship the longest?
My guess would have been Morton.
Queen of the South.
Is it really?
There we go. Who cares? You'll sleep well tonight. Who's Dundee's manager? James McPake. I'm afraid, Richard, he's pulling away from you. It's 4-1. How many English teams left in the Europa League? Man United, Arsenal, Wolves. 3.
Did Richard get it?
He didn't. And he also, he's just been a bit confused because of who he manages. Gary Holt played for Kilmarnock and not Livingston. So Gordon DL gets it. It's a 5 for him and only a 1 for you, Richard. I'm afraid no sign ball, but you're off to see Larson, Sutton and Hartson at the Hydro. That'll make up for it, I'm sure.
What part of that, Richard, did you get to and say he's pulling away?
Second question. Did you say James Forrest, man? That was it.
Unlucky, Richard. Good game.
No, really.
Good man, that was Richard. He's off to the Hydro. We're going to give tickets away all week on Beat the Pundit. If you don't want to take your chances though, you can still get tickets available on the SSE Hydro website. There we go. Good to see you back to winning ways. I've been worried about you in the last few weeks. Just not great.
I only lost one.
Nah, just unconvincing.
Two since the turn of the year.
I don't know what you did on the winter break, but you've just come back not the same.
Well,
not the same
I come
player.
Back firing old Sunderlanders tonight.
Yeah, I blame the recliner. Getting too relaxed, too comfy.
Motherwell against St Mirren is the big Scottish Cup replay tonight. Let's go to Fir Park, get an update on the conditions probably, and some breaking team news with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, Motherwell could really do with a win here because they failed to recapture that season, that form that they had in the first half of the season. They're 5 without a win. Stephen Robinson hopes that making it to a Scottish Cup quarter-final will kick their season back into life. He admits he's still trying to find the right balance up top after losing James Scott and Devontae Cole in January. Chris Long and Mikhail Njoli are both injured tonight, so it is a big night for Tony Watt, who will make his first start since joining the club. St Mirren, they haven't won in 6 and they've been struggling with injuries. They do have an abundance of strikers to choose from, though, unlike Motherwell. But Jim Goodwin, he's also trying to find the right balance up top as well. As for the teams, it's 4 changes for Motherwell from that loss to St Johnston. Gallagher, O'Hara, Long and Hilton drop out. Mugabe, Polworth, Watt and McIver come in. So Mark Gillespie starts in goal, a back 4 of Liam Grimshaw, Peter Hartley, Bevis Mugabe and Jake Carroll. The midfield 3, Alan Campbell, Liam Donnelly and Liam Polworth, with Rolando Ahrens and Ross McIver supporting Tony Watt up front. The substitutes, Carson, Tate, Seedorf, Manzinga, Hilton, Illich and O'Hara. As for St Mirren, one change for them from that loss to Livingston. Out drops Junior Marais and in comes Jason McGrath. A 4-4-2 for them. Vaclav Kladke in goal for them. Lee Hodson, Conor McCarthy, Akin Famahoy and Callum Waters, the back 4. Jamie McGrath, Sam Foley, Cameron McPherson and Ilkay Dermis are the midfield 4. Alex Jakubiak and John Obika up top. The substitutes are Minsky, Wallace, McAllister, Andrew, Mullen, Marais and Chabby. The pitch is actually looking all right at the moment. The rain and the snow is off for now, so it looks as if the game will most certainly go ahead, and it looks as if it will last the 90 minutes, or maybe even more than that if it does go further into extra time and penalties. The referee for this one tonight is Gavin Duncan.
Motherwell fans, St Mirren fans, let's hear from you. Are you nervous? Have you got the big game nerves? Who's going to progress in that one? In terms of headline team news, a first start for Tony Watt, that would probably be the standout piece of information.
When I saw the teams, the standout piece of information for me was no Declan Gallagher at the back for Motherwell. Andrew spoke about the changes up top. You know, James Scott's gone, Devante Cole's gone, there's no Njoli, there's no Long. Therefore it's a sort of new look front three of Tony Watt making that first start, to be flanked by Ross McIver on one side and Rolando Ahrens on the other side. But I would worry about Gallagher as Motherwell's best defender. Bevis Maccabi is not in the same ballpark as Declan Gallagher. Mugabe and Peter Hartley, I don't think I've played together as a two. They have played as two of a three, if you know what I mean. So it'll be interesting to see how they settle on the surface tonight. But no Declan Gallagher is a blow for Motherwell.
Declan Gallagher's played every single game, I think, for Motherwell this season, Gordon. Plus 2 for his country, such as the form that he showed for Motherwell. It's fairly obvious what a miss he's going to be.
He's got to be a massive miss. I think the two biggest ones is obviously Gallagher, centre-back, and Long up front. I think Long's been very, very good for Motherwell. He's a team player, Gordon. He can get goals. He works very hard. It'll be interesting to see how Tony Watt performs tonight. I like Arns in the right hand side. I really do. I think he's positive. I think he's got a bit about him. Could cause St Mirren problems. But I, if I'm Jim Goodwin looking at that team sheet coming in and I see Gallagher missing there, I would feel a bit more confident, to be honest with you.
Okay, let's hear from both managers then, starting with the home boss, Stephen Robinson.
Same as it was before, you know, nothing's really changed. We've got more, you know, we've done 11v11 between ourselves on Astro on Saturday, so we got another 45 minutes into Tony Watt. Give us another chance to work a little bit longer with him, so he becomes a live option as well. We'd be preparing the exact same way as we were before. We know St Mirren's strengths, you know, I've watched them numerous times. Martin Foyle watched them last week against Livy, you know, so we know them inside out like they know us. I don't think there'll be any great surprises. I'm under no illusion. We want to win as soon as possible, of course. And I sort of, you know, make the realities of it. We're still third, joint third, sorry, and we're a chance of getting the quarterfinal of the cup. Getting to the quarterfinal would lift the whole place again, put us right in the position to go forward in the league as well. And I think other managers have said it, when you do get a cup run, your league form sort of carries on with that as well. So if we can have both, you know, and continue and have a wee bit of luck with injuries, there's absolutely no reason why we can't.
So Stephen Robinson there welcoming Jim Goodwin and St Mirren to Fir Park tonight.
The weekend off didn't really bother me, to be honest with you. Allowed us a little bit of more recovery for one or two players that needed it. We had one or two with little niggles as well, and they would have happened to try and play through it on Saturday. So the fact that we've had the extra few days to let them recover, we've now got a clean bill of health, apart from you know, the obvious ones, the serious ones that are out. But you know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, it's just where we are in the world. I think it's important to reiterate to the players that the game is on, you know, right up until the last minute, because if the players today are thinking the game is off, then it's very hard to switch that mindset again. So they have to be of the mindset that the game is 100% on. And if we get
a few people getting in touch online, a very harsh assessment from Scott. He thinks Mugabe is brutal, so he thinks that could be a blow for Motherwell tonight. Derek has had a look at the teams though and thinks 4-0 to Motherwell on the flip side. And C. Harvey, Charvey perhaps, says far too many combinations from our front three this season, concerning.
Well, Tony Watt's an experienced player. He's a very good player, Gordon. It'll be interesting to see how he performs tonight. But I do like long up top. I like Arns, I really do. I think we'll get good pace. Hilton, on his game, causes a lot
of... He's on the bench. I think that's maybe what the tweeter means.
Yeah, causes a lot of problems as well. But the manager's got to make a decision. Sometimes it's good just to freshen it up, give other players opportunity, throw down the challenge to them to go and claim the jersey. And it'll be interesting to see how they perform. But St Mirren will have something to say about that. I think that'll be a very good game at Fir Park.
Andrew, are the players out warming up yet?
Yeah, all the players are out warming up. I'm actually just... Coaches seem to be warming up as well. For some reason, Morris Ross and Keith Lasley are kicking a ball about between themselves in front of me as well. But yeah, the players are out there. The ball seems to be running pretty smoothly when the players are kicking it out towards each other. So doesn't seem to be any problems whatsoever. It's not going to be one of these games where the ball's holding up and players are sort of getting caught in the heavy pitch conditions. It should be all right and conducive for a decent game of football tonight.
Yeah, there was a time when that Fir Park pitch would have been destroyed by the rain that we've had. I suppose credit to the ground staff and the club for the investment and the maintenance, that actually it's still looking all right, because I think even yesterday Stephen Robinson described it as touch and go. It's been pouring at times today, but it doesn't sound like there's any issues.
There's a big prize at stake as well, a home quarter final on the television against either Aberdeen or Kilmarnock. Whoever wins tonight could possibly see a pathway opening up for them to get to minimum a semi-final at Hampden.
01419511025, that's the number you need if you want to get in touch tonight. You can contact us on Twitter as well. We are at Clyde SSB. Paul has sent a picture in. He says, let's dream high. It might be wet and cold, but we can do this. Paul and his young son, they are wrapped up, as you would expect, and on the way to Fir Park this evening. May the best team win, Gordon. We'll leave it there. Stevie's in Strathblane. Hi, Stevie.
Evening, lads.
How are you, Stevie?
A long time. I'm going to agree with a Rangers fan that was on earlier, who said that Rangers are having a good season. Last 16 of the Europa League, semi-final of the Cup, second in the league. But unfortunately for the Rangers fans, Celtic are not having a good season. Celtic are having a great season. Celtic are having one of the best seasons ever. They've hardly been beat, I think twice maybe. They're 10 points clear, could possibly go to 7. They also win, they've got one trophy in the bag, the treble's on, and they're also in the last 16. So, as good a season as Rangers are having, if they end up with nothing, I agree. I think it was Gordon Dalziel or Roger. Second place is no good enough. They have to win something. The Scottish Cup, obviously, I would think is the best bet. But if Gerard doesn't win something, I think he's going to come under real pressure. I think Rangers fans thinking, we've had 93 points or whatever it ends up, you know, and we made the final. And even if they get beat in the final of the Scottish Cup, it's just not going to be enough.
It'll be interesting, Stevie. Obviously, they still feel that they've got an opportunity to catch Celtic, which I think is going to be very difficult in the league. Scottish Cup.
Possible because they've got a game against St Johnstone and have to play Celtic twice. If they win all of those three games, they'd be down to a point.
Exactly. But I still think there'll be one or two points on the road. I've always said from day one, I think that both teams at home will win their home games, apart from the only team that can beat is each other. But I think the Scottish Cup, in my opinion, is the best opportunity. But I think there's a lot of Rangers fans out there that would look at Steven Gerrard, and even if he finishes second, gets beaten in the Scottish Cup final, say just for instance, I think they'd be happy to go with him again for another season. Whereas other managers would have been put right out the door. They'd have been, you know, there would have been a change made, because that would not be classed as good enough. Because at the end of the day, Gordon, you cannot deny the Rangers board have backed the manager to the hilt.
This exceptional season that Celtic are on, in your mind, Stevie, does it continue on Thursday night?
I'd be happy if I won each draw. I'd be clicking my heels at a one each draw, and then get them back at Celtic Park.
You get that logic, Roger. That's how these two-legged affairs work.
It is a two-legged affair. Different from your group stage, completely different. All you need to do is make sure you're the top team after 180 minutes, and if that involves a scoring draw away from home, I think most teams in continental competition would take a scoring draw away from home in the first leg and getting the opponents back onto your own path.
I would prefer a 1-1 draw to a nil-nil.
Yeah,
away go.
You know, and then they have to come out and play. And you know Celtic are devastating on the counter-attack.
Does it have any impact on the tie, Stevie, that Copenhagen have had that winter break at all? They've only played one game.
Don't know. You know, it's a big game. You've got to get up for that game, ain't you? You're talking about the fitness and all that towards the end.
Whatever, fitness, sharpness, whatever you want to call it.
Maybe, aye, possibly. Possibly.
Gordon, you can always spin it both ways. You can say, well, they're rested. You know, it depends. It really does.
Could get a few injuries back. But I do think it takes one or two games to get up to speed again, Gordon. And I think that is a slight advantage for Celtic. I agree with Stevie. I think that Neil Lennon would bite your hand off for a 1-1 just now. I think that would be a terrific result. Bring them back to Celtic Park, you would have to look at that and say that would probably be enough. You'd be surprised if Celtic couldn't finish that off. And on the other hand, I think Rangers have got to, at home, get a real positive result to take to Portugal.
Stevie, what about your thoughts? There's been a bit of a theme on tonight's show, VAR. We're going to get a really close look at it. It comes into the Europa League from this stage. Is that something that you're happy about or not?
No, I'd be quite happy with that, but I don't think they can afford that.
No, but it's going to be in the Europa League, I mean. So Celtic are going to have it, Rangers are going to have it.
That's great. You know, you just need to look at Frank Lampard's goal for England, and it was over the line and it got disallowed. I mean, that was ridiculous. I've always said that a refereeing decision can really affect an outcome. A Champions League final, a World Cup final, a European final. I mean, you'd be devastated if you were done by a refereeing decision that was wrong. It's too late once it's done. So if we can prevent that, that's great.
Let's hope it's that simple. Let's hope we get it. Everyone agrees.
It's never
that
simple,
good.
Gordon.
That was good. They got that right. We move on. Brilliant.
Yeah. If the decision goes against Celtic or Rangers on Thursday, let me tell you, we'll have a few phone calls about VAR.
And you'll get to see. It's a 5-6 kickoff, Copenhagen against Celtic. You'll be in with a mushroom, assuming he's back from Pitodre by then.
he certainly is. He's parked up at my house now. So yeah. I'll keep him there for a few days.
Did you leave a little bit of ironing for him, keep him busy before the kickoff?
He's at Fir Park. He's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can tell you, Mark Wilson called Gordon Dalziel during the break just to ask permission. If he could park outside Gordon's property to go to Fir Park tonight, and Gordon was trying to charge him for the privilege.
You had a space outside the East Wing, didn't you?
Yeah, brilliant. He says, "Can I park in your house?" I says, "As long as it's not the living room, you're fine."
Stephen Kennedy's on Twitter. He says, "If it's not too much hassle, can you give a wee shout out for my dad, James Kennedy? He's turned 65. No, can't do that. Sorry, Stephen. We're going to move on. And we've got, oh, by the way, I know I say this every Tuesday, but seriously, I mean it more than ever.
Stinker.
This full time teaser is incredible. It's incredibly difficult. Yes.
Do you know, see, at the end of the season, it's my ambition. I want to meet that guy.
I think you look at him every Tuesday night. I think it's Gordon.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
See, if I'm being honest, you're giving me way too much credit. There is not a chance I could come up with some of these questions. Because I like a little bit of trivia. I could come up with the simpler ones. See, if it's got a Wikipedia page that I can copy and paste, I could do that. There is no chance I could come
What's
up with some
team
of these.
Tonight?
90s Celtic and Rangers.
Oh, that's not snow.
Is that your strong
80s,
point?
80s, 80s. Get back to it.
Okay, well, we'll give you the question next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com. It's time for Roger Hanna and Gordon DL to go about tonight's full-time teaser. Now, they're going to potentially need your help. And just out of curiosity, I would love to see how many you could get from this list. I know the knowledge out there is outstanding, but it's going to have to be, because John Smith has sent this teaser in, and it is a cracker. We're looking for 9 outfield players who made their one and only appearance for Celtic or Rangers during the 90s. So if you think sometimes international you'll do one cap wonders, well, this is the club equivalent. We're looking for 9 outfield players who made one and one appearance only for Celtic or Rangers during the 90s.
What are you looking at me for?
What are you looking at him for?
You wouldn't even know where to start. I guess Barry Smith at Celtic.
No.
There's a fullback in there for Rangers, and I can't remember his name.
The fullback for Rangers?
I know that narrows it down, but if it was the 80s, I could have thrown my own name in.
You're doing yourself a disservice. You played more than once.
Twice. This isn't a good start already, is it? Come on, Roger.
Nope. Outfield players.
There'll be a goalkeeper. Got to be a goalkeeper.
In the 1990s. No, what about...
Oh, you said outfield players.
Outfield players,
what
did
you? What about some of those, a couple of those Finns at Rangers? Cowpeeler?
Nope.
Tero Penttilä?
Nope.
Paul Reid?
I'll give you a clue. I think the vast majority of them are from the UK and Ireland. Yeah, I'm just skimming through. Not them all, but the vast majority are from the UK and Ireland. Could this be the first time you get none?
Very possibly. Stephen Bond.
Nope. Absolutely. Ooh. Nowhere near it.
James Bond.
'90s.
I mean, Kenny's gone for like Daniel Prodan. That's not right. Colin's gone Scott Marshall. That's not right. It could just be a race to see who gets the first correct answer at all.
A lot of them homegrown players, signings.
Bit of a mixed bag, to be honest. Should we just change it to see how many you can get? Well, let's not even bother about trying to get the 9. Let's see if you can get one.
If you give us one, it usually kicks us
in. Nah, I don't think it will.
No, if you give us a good clue.
Right, one of them's Italian.
Luigi Riccio.
There we go, see?
There you go.
Up and running. Would you care to fill in the blanks for anyone who's not heard of him?
Luigi Riccio came to Rangers round about the same time Rino Cattuso.
Yeah, I think it was pals, weren't they?
He was a left back.
Yes, 1999. Well done, Luigi Riccio.
I've never heard of him.
Nah, I don't think, this is what I'm anticipating. I don't think you're going to have heard
of any of them.
Any name on this list, maybe one. But other than that, I really don't think you'll have heard of any of them.
Alan Gow. When did he play?
No, he was later. He was about 2006, I think.
90s, yeah. Okay. Here's something that I thought we'd maybe touch on, because there are few subjects that get our listeners going like a good old ticket allocation dispute. And if you remember, Roger, a few weeks ago, we had the situation where St Johnstone took the decision to give 3 stands, if you like, to Celtic and Rangers for the forthcoming league games, on the premise that, well, they weren't going to fill them, and you might as well try and make a bit of money. Now, we got a really a lot of response to that, and it's been taken on a bit further. I think it was yesterday when St Johnson, because they had a big call to make over the forthcoming cup tie against Celtic, and they've decided to do it again. So they're going to give Celtic all three stands. Now, we always get the same type of reaction, because most of our listeners are Celtic and Rangers fans, and they say, oh good, that's great, because they're not going to fill it, we should fill it, they get to make more money, everyone's happy. But not everyone is happy, and I thought it'd be good to try and get the other side of the view, and I think that's what Greg, who's a St Johnston fan on the line, is going to give us. Greg also runs a gambler betting podcast, but he's a big passionate St Johnston fan, and I don't think you're too happy about the decision, Greg.
Hi gents. No, absolutely not. I think you touched upon there, giving Celtic and Rangers fans three stands for league games, absolutely fine, but not for a one-off cup game. Now, I think at the moment, 7,000 Celtic fans, that for me gives Celtic an advantage straight away. When you look at Celtic's record in cup competitions, what's that now, 33 consecutive domestic cup wins?
Yeah.
They're unbeaten. Why can't we be the first team to beat Celtic? And don't get me wrong, beating Celtic will be done on the pitch, but let's give us a chance. Let's try and get as many St Johnson fans going to the game as possible. As you know, over the last few seasons, we've really, really struggled against Celtic. I think the aggregate score is 31-0 over the last few seasons. So it's pretty brutal stuff. And also, the club have announced we're going to give Celtic all three stands for the game on the 1st of March. Now, I've seen obviously quite a lot of debate on Twitter today and yesterday about, great, St Johnson can cash in on this. For me, it's not about cashing in. It's a Scottish Cup quarter-final. The club should be doing everything they can to, one, get St Johnston fans to the game, and secondly, supporting the team. This should be about getting through to the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup, not cashing in. And when I say cashing in, we're not even cashing in. I think once you take away deductions and costs, St Johnston get about 35% of the gate from the match. So it's not a total cash-in. And to be fair, I don't think Tommy Wright will see any of that money anyway. So really, really disappointing from my perspective, and I think the vast majority of St Johnston fans are really disappointed by the move.
What do you think, Roger? This one constantly divides fans.
Yeah. Now, Greg, a couple of times used the phrase, let's get as many St Johnston fans going to the game as possible. I think St Johnston have thought of that, and they've thought of it for quite a few seasons now. They've tried various initiatives to get more St Johnston fans into the crowd, into the ground, I should say, for these games. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, I don't know why, they just cannot bring more people in. Now, it's a big decision for St Johnston. Do they let those seats lie empty and make no money, or do they fill them with opposing fans, be they Celtic fans or Rangers fans or whoever, and bring in more money? Now, St Johnston's manager Tommy Wright had quite a loud protest during the January window about basically a lack of backing in the transfer market, a lack of resources being put forward to him in the transfer market. He needs all the money he can get, whether it's 35% of the gate, 30% of the gate, whatever. He's looking, you know, he's seen Matt Kennedy go away to Aberdeen there in January. He's still to secure Dre Wright on a new contract. And maybe, you know, the league game against Rangers, the league game against Celtic, the cup game against Celtic, the St Johnson board have clearly taken the decision that they believe they'll get enough money coming in from selling out three sides of McDermott Park that could make a difference to the club going forward. In an ideal world, Greg, I agree with you. It's always great to see the home fans turning out, but St Johnson, and listen, they're not isolated. You can say the same for Kilmarnock or St Mirren or other teams. The home fans just don't turn up in big enough numbers.
Where people miss the point in this as well, I totally understand both sides of the argument. But if I was a St Johnston player, now we know the home crowds, we know the support that St Johnston have got. You've got Celtic coming to town in a cup tie. I've got to want. I want the place full.
Full of opposition fans.
The atmosphere as a player, Gordon, I would much rather go out there.
Does it not give Celtic a better chance of winning the game? And if you're a St Johnston player, why would you go for that?
Given our record against Celtic, if you're a St Johnston player,
but you've not got Celtic enough fans to fill the ground. That's unfortunate. You don't
it's not
do
about
it.
That, though. It's
What's
not
that about,
about
then? You're wanting plenty of empty seats.
For me, yes. This is about getting through the Scottish Cup semi final, not about earning an extra few bob by filling three stands to a Celtic fans.
Well, the fans don't kick the ball in the park. The players do. I would, as a player.
Yeah, but we always. Well, what? Why? a wee selective about this, because we always hear players going, oh, the fans were great, 12th man really helped us, really helped us get over the line. So is that never true then? Because if you're saying it's not true now, you have to be consistent,
Gordon,
on that.
I can only talk for myself as a player. When I played for, say for instance, when I was at Raith Rovers, right, or whatever it may be, and Rangers or Celtic came to town, I loved the fact that we didn't have enough fans to outnumber Celtic or Rangers, but I loved the fact to running out there, a full ground, terrific atmosphere, whether the three quarters in it was Celtic and Rangers at that time. I prefer playing in that rather than turn around and say, well, I tell you, we're only keeping it for our fans and we'll sell 1,000 tickets. That is only my opinion to it.
It's not working. Look at the aggregate score of the last two seasons. 31-0.
But I'm sorry, blocking Celtic fans out isn't going to make that it's working. It's a new tactic for you.
But it's worth trying, though. It's absolutely worth trying.
Why don't more St Johnson fans turn out to the games, Greg? Because
we are where we are, St Johnson fans. We've got 2,500. You're absolutely right. Well, we're not going to get any more coming through.
But that's the thing. You don't even have that lot today. I noticed the crowd for Motherwell last Wednesday night was 2,600, and that's including the fans that Motherwell take up.
Stayed at 250 last week. St Johnson
in the last 6 or 7 or 8 years are having as good a spell as they've had in their modern history, probably in, you know, your lifetime or my lifetime or whatever. And the clubs, you know, it's not as if the club becomes complacent and thinks, oh no, I'm going to put prices sky high and chase punters away. Sure. The club have done different initiatives to try and get people in the door. They simply cannot get people in the door.
Just to try and look at all aspects of this, what about that other thing that's not been mentioned, that thing that can't really be measured, about how you attract future fans? What about the fact that you make your home fans your priority and you look after them, and then you build up that feeling that the club's got your back, you've got theirs, that community spirit, and maybe that's how you grow your fan base for years to come, rather than worrying about that one day when you get extra bodies through the door.
If you want to grow a fan base for future years, you know what you should do? You should win the Scottish Cup. And if you want to do that, you should take 30,000 fans or 25,000 fans from the town of Perth down to Celtic Park, and you should beat one of your local rivals like Dundee United in a Scottish Cup final, and those fans will stay with you forever, and they'll fill McDermott Park for seasons to come. No, it hasn't happened. So if St Johnson can't build a supporter base bigger than 2,500 when they've done all this in the last 5 or 6 years, then is it little wonder that the board think, you know what, we've got a 10,000 seater stadium here, 7,500 of the seats are never full, let's get opposition fans in and try and bring some money in.
Give you the final word on this one, Greg.
I'll pose one question. Celtic fans especially, they had the top tier closed at Celtic Park for how many seasons recently? Not so long ago. Would Celtic fans be happy if the board gave those seats away to opposition fans? Highly unlikely.
We'll leave it there. Good question.
A lot of the time the top tier was closed. I think a lot of the season tickets had been sold, though, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and then just weren't getting taken up on the day.
Yeah, just weren't getting taken up.
All right, Greg and Cumbernauld, thank you very much for the call. Let's quickly check in on the teaser. You've got Luigi Riccio. I gave you that one, really. Well, I gave you a clue. The first person to get any right on Twitter is MF. Well done to you, MF_86. You're the first man to get any right. We're looking for 9 outfield players who made their one and only appearance for Celtic or Rangers.
I'm grasping at straws here. What about the lad that played up front? Is it Seabo or
Sebo? Way more than one appearance. It wasn't the 90s either.
This is all on yesterday's. Dougald McCarrison?
Nope.
Who's she?
Mark Smith?
Nope.
Brian Reid?
This could be too. This is officially too hard, isn't it?
Mark Wilson?
Brian Reid at Rangers?
No.
Chris Hay at Celtic?
No. I think you need thinking time. I'll give you thinking time.
You could give us until next year.
We'll go back to Fir Park and we'll speak to Ian and Bears then next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here. Quickly, if you got any more on this teaser, we are getting some on Twitter, by the way. Yeah. I knew the Twitter ati would get it. MF has got one. Disco Man Stu, he's got two of them.
We've been trying
Martin
to get
Burns
around
has got one.
The home nations here, because you gave us that clue. We got to Northern Ireland. We think Lee Feeney at Rangers.
Well done.
And Darren Fitzgerald
at
Rangers.
Yeah.
Two of the double Northern header.
Right, any more?
Not at
right, you've
minute.
Got 3 of 9. Let's go back to Fir Park. We're going to speak to Ian and Bears Den, who's been hanging on for ages. But let's quickly get a final preview of Motherwell St Mirren with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the players to come out the tunnel here at Fir Park. The rain is off, there isn't too much wind either. The fans are in their seats ahead of this Scottish Cup 5th round replay. There's pay at the gate here tonight as well, so still a few taking their seats as the players now make their way out the tunnel. Both sets of supporters desperate to see a victory after winless runs for both sides. A tie at home to either Kilmarnock or Aberdeen, who play tomorrow, awaits the winner of this in the quarter final. And remember, tonight could go all the way to extra time and penalties if needed. As for the team news, big team news coming out of Motherwell, because Declan Gallagher misses this one altogether and Chris Long is injured as well, so Tony Watt comes in for his first start. The four that drop out from the four changes: Gallagher, O'Hara, Long and Hilton. In come McGabby, Polworth, Watt and McIver. So Mark Gillespie starts in goal, a back four of Liam Grimshaw, Peter Hartley, Bevis McGabby and Jake Carroll. The midfield three: Alan Campbell, Liam Donnelly and Liam Polworth, with Rolando Ahrens and Ross McIver supporting Tony Watt up front. The substitutes: Carson, Tate, Seedorf, Manzinga, Hilton, Illich and O'Hara. As for St Mirren, just one change for them: Junior Marais drops out. January signing Jason McGrath comes into the starting lineup. A 4-4-2 for them tonight. Vaclav Kladke starts in goal, a back four of Lee Hodson, Conor McCarthy, Akin Famoy and Callum Waters. The midfield four: Jamie McGrath, Sam Foley, Cammy McPherson and Ilkay Dermas, with Alex Jakubiak and John Obika up top. The substitutes are Minsky, Wallace, McAllister, Andrew, Mullen, Marais and Chabby. Just about to get underway here at Fir Park. The referee for this one is Gavin Duncan.
Thanks, Andrew McLean. Hopefully the weather doesn't put the fans off, because £12 for adults, £3 for children. We cry out for sensible pricing. We've got it. Hopefully we get a big crowd. Now, Ian in Bears Den, you have been waiting for absolutely ages. My apologies. Let's make it worth the wait.
Well, hopefully. Before I make my point, I've been asked to pass on a message to Mr. Dale from two of my fellow workmates who are both members at Wishaw Golf Club. Brian Cogan and Dave Carn, who's the captain this year. They just said they hope you have a good season at the golf, but managed to kind of cut down on your divots a wee bit.
I'll do my best.
Ian, until he gets his hip fixed, he'll be nowhere near it. You should see the way he's limping about this office. Unless they can provide some transport for him, there'll be no chance. You can pass that back on. Anyway, what's your Partick Thistle point?
Well, I was quite happy when Ian McCall was given the job after Gary Cowell's demise. And one of his first statements was he wanted to put the red and yellow back into Partick Thistle. He's managed to put the red in, which is really the embarrassment in people's faces now. We've lost to a lower league club in a semi-final Friday night. We've won one of our last nine games. I think he was a bit too keen to get rid of Kenny Miller, because Zach Wooden is now injured. But we're just not scoring goals. Defensively, we're absolutely atrocious. The goalkeeper, Scott Fox, won't come off his line. He's lost two or three goals recently. Headers from 3 yards. You have to command your six-yard box as a goalkeeper, in my opinion. And really, I begin to think we're going to get down now, because I don't really see how we can change anymore.
I mean, Roger, it's seven without a win. That's across various competitions, to be fair, but it's seven without a win, so that's clearly where the negativity is coming from. In that league table, we're running out of games. We're mid to late February, and 3 points adrift of Alloa, 3 points adrift of Queen of the South. It's not a huge gap.
Yeah,
but
listen, I think Ian's doing Raith Rovers a bit of a disservice, because in the great ladder of Scottish football, they're only one position below Partick Thistle. So it wasn't really too much of a shocking Friday night. And it was a deserved win for Raith Rovers at Fir Hill on Friday night to get through to the Challenge Cup final. I'm going to Fir Hill on Saturday for Super Scoreboard, Ian, to cover the Dunfermline game. The bad news for you is the last twice I've seen Thistle live for Super Scoreboard, they've lost 4-1 on each occasion, and they deserve to lose 4-1 on each occasion. Ian McCall really does have his work cut out there. I think there's been a steady decline. You know better than me, since the day Alan Archibald took Thistle into the top six in the Premiership, there's been a slide that no one has been able to reverse. Alan himself couldn't reverse it. Gary Caldwell couldn't reverse it. And Ian McCall, fine manager though he is struggling to reverse it at the minute. He's made a lot of changes. Some of the guys were cup tied, couldn't play in Friday against Raith. They'll be back for Dunfermline this weekend. A bit like Hearts in the Premiership. When people ask me, I say, oh yeah, they'll get out it. Yeah, Hearts will get out it, they will. And they ask me about Thistle and I say, Thistle will get out it. But I think I'm only saying that because of the size of the club there, because of their history, because of previous reputations. Looking at them with my own eyes this season, I agree with you. I think there's a real, real relegation scrap there at Fir Hill. They'll be desperately hoping for a win this weekend. They'll be hoping that Alloa somehow can get pulled back in it, that maybe a Queen of the South or a Morton could get pulled back in it. But they are going to have to improve markedly, even to get up into the relegation playoff place.
What about the other point Ian makes with regards recruitment, Gordon? Because maybe there's more than one parallel with Hearts as well. Again, similar to Hearts, most people from the outside, on paper if you like, felt like Thistle's January recruitment was pretty good. You were looking at some of the names they had brought in, and there were lots of bodies. The one that maybe did divide people was the departure of Kenny Miller. And whether these guys will gel and work out in time, maybe they will, but obviously it's not had the instant impact.
Yeah, recruitment, you look at, first and foremost, was a manager. And I think a lot of Thistle fans were delighted to have McCall back in there. The board backed him. He's brought in a bit of experience. On paper, you've got to look at them and say, good players. I was a bit surprised they let the experience of Kenny Miller go. I thought he'd have kept him there till the end of the season. Especially, I think Kenny had about, 10 goals or something this season, which is not a bad return as well. Great experience. So I'm surprised at Partick Thistle, Gordon, but they're running out of games and their record is very, very poor. Ian can't have any complaints about, well, and Harry did this squad. He's brought in a lot of players and good experienced players as well. Decent players. Like, say, Dan McKinnon not long ago was a captain of Hampton Accies in the Premier League. So the results have been poor and they need to find a win quickly. And it's got to be Saturday for me to get kick run something, you know, kick start something for them, get them going again, bit of confidence. But the Thistle fans are certainly not happy just now.
What are you thinking?
Well, I wasn't being disrespectful to the Wraith Rovers. And to be perfectly honest, Wraith Rovers are a good first division team, but they're a part time team. And
they're full time.
Are they full time?
Yeah.
Okay, right, I stand corrected there. But for the way they are, for them to come and turn us over at home, despite the fact we're bottom of the league, it's just not good enough for the players he's brought in. Supposedly we're going to change it. I feel the worst because I don't see how else he can change it. The defence, the amount of goals they're losing from corner kicks and set plays is ridiculous.
And you've got Kevin Nisbet coming back to Fir Hill with Inverness at the weekend.
He's only got the 5 goals against them this season, does
yeah,
he not?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you sometimes see games at 5-3 and you think he's going to score in this game and he does. That must be your biggest fear for Saturday, Nisbet coming back to haunt you again, Ian.
He probably will, and if you, as a betting man, I'll probably have a bet on him to score at some point in the game. But probably the odds will be that low; it won't be worth betting on. Because even Doolan did it when he came back with United, and I dread to think when we play him, now he's at Morton, he'll probably score against us then as well.
Yeah, please, you gamble responsibly, Ian. It's only an 8-1 aggregate for Dunfermline against Partick Thistle this season, so.
Listen, I'm looking forward to the game. Dunfermline with Stevie Crawford will still be looking up the way I would think. They'll try and get back into those promotion playoff places, but it's so tight. You know, Dundee United will be champions, they've run away with that league. It's so tight beneath them that, you know, in these games, anything can happen.
Thanks to Ian in Bears Den. Still nothing of note from Fir Park. Motherwell nil, St Mirren nil in that Scottish Cup replay.
Not got any of that, sounds boring.
You are going. I'm dragging you, kicking and screaming.
Well, you can't get home because the mushrooms are doing part across
exactly.
your back.
I know, exactly.
Right, you've got work to do in this teaser. I don't know how far we'll get, but I felt like we'd test you out. We are getting some.
I think I might have one.
Good attempts on Twitter. We're looking for the 9 outfield players who made their one and only appearance for Rangers or Celtic during the 90s. You've got Lee Feeney, Darren Fitzgerald, and Luigi Riccio, all Rangers. You've not got any Celtic ones yet.
How's about another Rangersman for you? How about Stephen Boyack?
Yes, I signed him on loan for Ayr.
Not on loan. I signed him.
I think he was on loan at Ayr, but anyway.
Celtic players: Jamie McQuilkin.
No, Derek Miller has also got Stephen Boyack there.
How about Olivier Capo?
No.
Fernando Dionelis at Celtic?
No.
Was he after?
A couple. Kevin Maguire's got Stephen Boyack as well.
Sandy Robertson?
No. Kevin Maguire's chipped in with 2 that you're still waiting for.
Well done, Kevin.
So I told you, the knowledge out there is top drawer.
I've gone silent. I have absolutely no clue.
Yeah, I think I'll need to give you some clues for the rest. Right, would you want Celtic or Rangers first? Let's do
either.
Right, Rangers had a right back who also played for Dundee United. This would be 1995. Nah, I'm going to have to give you some of these. Neil Caldwell.
Who?
Neil Caldwell. I'll say it a third time.
No, can't believe I never got him.
Right, Celtic, 95. He was a striker. He also played for Aberdeen, 95 to 98. Played for Montrose. And his uncle is he's a famous footballing uncle as well. He has a famous footballing
uncle. What's his uncle?
His surname is Craig. Tommy Craig is his uncle.
Stevie Craig.
No, Michael.
Michael?
Michael Craig. Right, Celtic 96. He was a striker. He played for Partick Thistle for a couple of years at the start of this millennium. Still in Albion. Had a spell at Clyde Bank.
Initials?
B.E.
Barry Smith.
Oh, that's a highlight.
What?
That's a highlight of the show.
Sounds a bit
Elliot.
Like
Elliot. Barry Elliot.
Yes. Well done.
I knew I'd get that.
Right, this one should be the easier, I think. Celtic 94. He also played for Queen's Park. He played for Bournemouth, Queen of the South, St Johnstone. He's been about. J.O.
John O'Neill.
Yeah, John O'Neill. Mm. And the last one, Celtic, a centre back, played for Newcastle, Reading, and Livingston as well. Paddy Kelly. I need to give you. We need to move on. Callum Gallagher's up next. He's got all the latest from the Brits.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.